Welcome to the Why Wars Happen History podcast, where we have narrated history episodes, and we also have episodes where we sit down with authors, filmmakers, historians, politicians, all sorts of people, and we talk about wars in history and stories from history. Today, we have some really, really cool guests. I'm very excited. We've got Jeremy Fox, who is a TV mogul, former CEO of Virgin TV and president of Channel 9 Australia. Sir Howard Stringer, who is former CEO of Sony and chairman of the American Film Institute and lots of other cool stuff. And we also have Jeff Bukas, who is former CEO of HBO and chairman of Time Warner. These are just a few of their accolades. Very, very impressive. These guys are very experienced when it comes to entertainment. Very happy to have them here. Guys, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, I'm so excited to ask about things. I'm very, very interested in kind of the brains behind t storytelling and things like that. So, first, before we get into the specific podcast, I kind of want to talk about podcasting in general and kind of your take on it. Where you guys have all sat at the top of the entertainment industry and now you're jumping into podcasts. What made you guys go like, screw it, we're just going to do a podcast?
A lack of interest from traditional media.
All right. All right. What about the rest of you guys? What's your.
That wasn't true. That's a joke.
But it's so
Well,
believable, too.
actually, it's right on the button. I mean, we've all made a lot of television shows, and these guys made a lot of movies, but it's hard to get stuff going nowadays. And the podcast world, well, we thought was a bit easier. But not 100% sure that's true. Now we've made a few of these, but we thought that was a good entry point. And we're in a very, very niche area. I mean, podcasts are niche, drama podcasts are niche, and even nicher, drama podcasts about historical product and stuff from the last 100 years. So you narrow it down to, a tiny area, but that's the
Oh
area
yeah.
we're in.
Yes, layers. What about you, Howard?
Well, I've spent my life in documentaries and movies and major companies, and Jeremy Fox and I started a company because we wanted to keep ourselves engaged. And the only way, if you don't have an enormous amount of money and you don't want to work in a big company, is find angles. And the angles we found is these radio dramas, which are getting a lot of attention. We've had very high ratings by radio standards. We're getting a lot of attention. We don't spend money on marketing. We don't demand our names to be out there. But we know that the actors we hire and the stories we tell are as important today as they ever were, whether it's the CIA or Saigon or Buzz Aldrin. These are important stories, and there's no outlet for them anywhere else. So we're getting a great deal of attention because we care about these subjects, and we'll do it any way we can.
I love that. And you could tell the quality. Oh my God, the sound quality and the storytelling quality is crazy good. And it's like number one, the number one drama in the UK. Jeremy, I think you were saying something like that.
The Central Intelligence is currently, and in the last month or two, been the most popular drama, audio drama, on podcasts and radio. It's the most downloaded show on BBC,
I
which
am
is
not
something.
surprised. I am seriously, I love shows like this just on TV and film. And if you're out there going, okay, I finished Homeland or I finished all these, 24, God, I just rewatched that. And you're wondering what to listen to next, I would super highly recommend Central Intelligence. It's very, very cool. And you can
Well,
listen to it while you're driving and
it's
stuff too.
also
So,
people are listening to it in their cars. They're listening
yes.
to all. We get lots of we lots of response from the audience that's hearing it because the audio on radio is very high quality. The background, the sounds, and the actors, it's very intimate and very
Yeah.
real. And the only question is, will the audience find it? And that's what
Right.
you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the hard part I've felt about podcasting is discoverability is really, really hard.
Well, when you work for the BBC, as we do on Central Intelligence, you do get the whole organization. So what's been happening is that they've been promoting it on the radio. Most interestingly, they've been promoting it on TV. We made a little 30-second spot, and the BBC are very cleverly placing that slot just before the evening news. So it's that sort of audience. And people have been calling me and saying, I found this out because there was a TV ad. Now, in the real world, you can't afford a TV ad. Work for a public broadcaster, you're helped by their promotion.
That's awesome. That's perfect. And so do you guys each have this connection to history a little bit? There seems to be quite a focus on history, drama, storytelling. Do each of you feel like a connection to history, or are you history buffs?
Absolutely. I mean,
No.
I read history at Oxford. I did my documentaries were done when I first started making documentary for CBS News. I did the Palestinians, I did Northern Ireland, I did China. I was completely knocked out by the geopolitical opportunities, and I did not know nobody ever heard of the Palestinians when I did the first one, and now that's all anybody ever talks about. So in this situation we have we're timely with Central Intelligence, and as the star of Central Intelligence said, it's not clear that there's any intelligence in the center. Well, we're providing it.
Love it. Oh my gosh. What about the rest of you guys? You guys like lifelong history buffs?
Well, I certainly am. If you liked, say, the John Adams series or Band of Brothers on HBO
Yes.
or movies on Truman or two gripping movies on Churchill that we did, then you'll love
Yes.
CIA. And it, just the audience that has been listening to CIA is extremely well informed. So if you're listening to this and you haven't heard CIA, obviously you want to be, those who are well informed have flocked to it. So I hope that teases some people to come. I mean, this is a story, as Howard says, relevant today. But if you take the development all the way back from the mists of coming out of World War II, it's quite an interesting story, and it picks up a tremendous amount of the American-British special relationship also.
You know, it's worth remembering that there have been 25 James Bond pictures, five of which I was in charge of at Sony, and that's because there's an understanding that the theme running through our society is how do we cope with these international problems? And we rely on our spies and our intelligence. And what this show does is illuminate the difficulties and the unintended consequences of everything they did.
I mean, the best example of that is Iran. I mean, we tell the story of the Iranian Revolution, and there's a lot of what ifs, and the CIA and MI6 were behind the revolution, and it came back to bite everyone, 50 years later and ongoing today. So, one of the great advantages of the history, and when you tell history lessons, is what you learn today.
There definitely seems to be, not only history has this like global appeal, but I think that you guys are right with that theme of international relationships and the fallout of things and the consequences and how that all unravels. There's like a really, really, I don't know if you'd call it a niche, like maybe, but there's like really strong interest in that for sure. And so,
Well,
okay, so for
history's not about, you can say it's about the past, but history is really, as you try to understand it, it's about understanding the present.
Oh, definitely.
There's a great line that I love from George Orwell, who said that the past is erased, the erasure is forgotten, and the lie becomes the truth. And we see that now. We have seen over the last 40 years, it happens over and over again. So the theme of our series illuminates the difficulties we deal with and gives context to the problems our governments face sometimes badly, sometimes well.
I mean, I tell you, the most moving scene I heard, you know, within Central Intelligence is in one of the later episodes, sort of 9 or 10 of the second season, which is basically the story that, you know, what would Jack Kennedy have done? And there's a wonderful scene when he's talking to his Secretary of Defense and his brother, and he, you know, he realizes Vietnam is not winnable. And he said, listen, I can't do anything about it now, but when I win my second term, you know, and I don't have to fight for re-election, I'm going to get these guys out of there.
Yeah.
And then that's one of the great what ifs of history.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there are a lot of those. And we touch on them all.
One should not get the impression that our series here, because it's about the truth, is only about failures, although certainly there are many interesting and very important failures. It's also about successes.
Yeah. And you guys, and it's interesting because in my narrative side of this podcast, I go back centuries usually for like, why did this war happen? And it usually is rooted in all this backstory to really even understand. For instance, the season one is about the American Revolution, but I have to go back to the late 1500s in England to understand why everybody was so desperate to come over and hold on. So it's kind of like, you know, this, you have to learn from history and you see it repeating over and over again. And I love how this series, it just, it's so cinematic and it's so fun to listen to watch all of this play out and to hear all of these details and these stories and interpersonal relationships, the Central Intelligence series of everything down.
I mean, not to get too technical about it. I mean, Howard worked in radio originally. This is new to me. I thought when you make a podcast, you sit around a table and someone's got the coconuts pretending to be the horse and you all sit around. It's much more elaborate than that. We had 25 actors in Central Intelligence. We had 7 studios running in 7. LA, in New York, and 5 in London. We had actors from all over the world, people doing it at different times. And then we hand everything to the sound designers. And that's what makes it cinematic. I mean, it turns into something. And, you know, the music, Sasha Putnam did the music and he did it as if he was doing a movie. So, it's grand.
It's worth remembering that the actors, I spoke to John Lithgow the other day, and he was, you know, he just won an award for a play in the West End. But he talked about this radio show because he said it's so relevant. I really enjoyed myself. I just enjoyed myself. I felt like I was dealing with something that was about something. And here he is, a major actor, taking his time to do radio. It's just wonderful.
You'd never expect that. Yeah.
No, Howard's led us on nicely to this Buzz podcast that we released back in July. And John Lithgow stars as Buzz, as 95-year-old Buzz looking back on his life. And why we've characterized that as sort of historical and warlike, because as we say, you know, this really wasn't about, you know, landing on the moon. This was about beating the Russians. And that was what it was all about. And every time they thought the Russians were getting closer, they advanced this program and they advanced it, you know, endlessly. So we think that's really the heart of this. It tells the story of Buzz, but it tells it with this background of, you know, of the Cold War.
Yes, I wanted to definitely talk about Buzz. Okay, so I've just heard the trailer for that, and I was already, even just from the trailer, blown away by the quality. I've never heard this story told like that, like this cinematic thing that it seems like it's going to be, and John Lithgow being Buzz, like, come on, this is so cool. So I'm very excited about that.
Kim Cattrall was the same thing with Central Intelligence. I mean, here she is, a big star from Sex and the City, and she treated this radio show as if it was the most important thing in her life. And when she went up and accepted the award, she was just delighted and vibrating.
That's incredible. And okay, so I do want to ask for Jeff. So you were running HBO when The Sopranos was greenlit, which, by the way, I don't even know how many times I've seen that show front to back. Like, it's countless times. I freaking love that show to death. So you got really this taste of audiences' appetites for risky, bold storytelling. And it's just this huge, iconic thing in our society. Do you think podcasting has the same potential for audience capture in that way?
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Because the if you go back to the time of Sex and the City and Sopranos and even Band of Brothers, most television at that time was episodic, meaning every episode stood alone because the technology of video on demand was not available except at HBO. And so it informed the way we could develop story arcs where we could tell a story over many, many episodes. And the reason that on-demand capability, which is now standard in streamers and podcasts, the reason that that's important is that if you think about it, let's say you were watching CIA and you couldn't watch them in order if you were out to dinner the last episode, you're essentially stopped. So all of television was avoiding any kind of sequential story arcs, which meant most dramas had to, not to mention that they had commercials breaking up a quarter of the time. So they were kind of stuck with very short stories where you couldn't develop multiple relationships or plot lines. You couldn't have minor characters coming in the way they do in real life and becoming central characters. And we could do that in the on-demand world that we created at HBO, which is why Sopranos, it's not the only reason. David Chase had a brilliant idea for a show, and the cast and the way that they came together as an ensemble. And in fact, some of and the plot lines that went for, 6, 12, 20 episodes, and the ability to develop a character and reveal the character slowly, the way they come about in real life, and the mixture within that of if you've been many, many scenes in Sopranos where you'd see Paulie Walnuts going off with Pussy and having a side conversation that has nothing to do with the plot. And people underestimate how powerful that is because we were all. Everybody that watched television had been conditioned to think that every single thing on the screen was a key clue or part of a plot. Well, that's not how your life is. That's not how and so the ability to make it put air into it and to put more reality and randomness and fun and make it more like life. How do you know which things are going to be important and which are not? And if you go, say, to CIA or you go to the bu take Buzz, there is so much personality in Buzz Aldrin's story and in the space, his all the people that he's interacting with in the space program. And it comes across, given John Lithgow's size as an actor and his depth and range, that it's just a fascinating thing, even if it wasn't about the space program.
Yeah, you
That's
got
a
to know
really
that
cool way to put it.
your podcast is ironically, in an age of mass media, this is a truly shared experience. And I think the audience wants that.
Oh,
It's a
yeah.
shared, and you're doing a great job.
Oh. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm probably similar to you guys in the way of just, you want to get things out there, you want to get the stories out there and things like that. And podcasting is a really great way to do that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's intimate. It's intimate and available.
And I really wanted to ask you guys your opinion on this. So as so I'm a screenwriter and I'm around a lot of screenwriters, and I've been in a couple of pitch meetings over the last year at these various studios, and I kind of get this impression, these comments and these stories from people, that it's even with A-listers attached to a TV show today or a movie, it's very hard to get things made. Even if you have
Absolutely.
all the things lined up in a row, and it feels like almost apocalyptic, trying to get anything made. So you guys have that sense too over the last
Very,
couple of
it's very
years?
fragmented. Everything is much. We were all, everyone you're talking to, all three of us, existed in a world in which was much more time was much more organized, much less fragmented. I work for network television and a major electronics organization. Jeff worked in a huge media franchise, and Jeremy worked all over the place. But there were established places you could find a niche. It's much harder for people to do that today. It's
Absolutely.
fragmented. I mean,
Yeah,
the one thing I persuaded these guys when I said, "Would you come and get involved in Thoroughbred?" was the one thing we can guarantee is that anything we make will actually get published in some way. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, we can't guarantee that in the TV and the film world, but you can guarantee it in the podcast world because it goes to everyone. And what Jeff organized was this overall deal with iHeart, which is a huge, the biggest podcast producer in America, to do this sort of range of shows that basically tell us about the last 100 years. We call it the American Century. That was a sort of overall title.
I
And
love it.
Buzz, I mean, Central Intelligence would have fitted into that. We were already in production with the BBC. Buzz certainly does. And then
Oh, yeah.
coming up, we've got stories about Vietnam, we've got stories about Hiroshima, we've got stories about 9/11, all things that have happened in the last 100 years, all of which we're guaranteed to get out there now.
Yes, that is okay. So I should mention, I did want to mention, you guys have this production company and it's called Thoroughbred Studio. So if anybody wants to check out more about their dramas and things that are going on, Thoroughbred Studios, that's what it's called. And I think that it's really cool, like what you're saying, is that you guys are able to take this sort of company mission of these high quality dramas and uncovering truths, and you can just make stuff and actually do that. And nobody's telling you, don't uncover truths or make it this instead. And that's pretty cool. Where
Well,
can I ask, where does that passion come from to like do the uncovering truths? Where does that come from?
we're three has-beens still trying to make a difference.
You guys are
Well,
always going to be the tops for me. I love everything you guys have done, so I wouldn't say has-beens.
how it's come from a documentary background. I mean, that's what it was all about. I started in news as well, so we've always had that sort of passion for that. But every show we're making in all of these is this is the story you think you know, but you don't. And that's the theme over everything we're doing. We're telling you something that you thought you knew. You all know how Vietnam started. No, you don't. You all know how, Apollo 11, it went to the moon, it came back. You know that. That's not exactly what happened. And so, Hiroshima, big, this is going to be a big show about what really happened and what people believed and what the public were told right afterwards and how it's changed over the years. So, I mean, that's, I think, the theme to all of these things.
I love it. You could that definitely comes through. That comes through very, very strongly. I love it. That is such a strong hook too. So I definitely want to talk about Buzz. Can you just like give an overall of what people can expect to hear when they tune in to Buzz?
Well, you'll learn, obviously, the mission. But as I said, most people think that everything went right. I mean, Walter, there's a line from Walter Cronkite, who Howard worked with, that says, they land on the moon, it was like landing, driving a Cadillac into a parking lot. It wasn't like that at all. They missed their landing place. They were running out of fuel. The fuel iced up. They weren't sure they could take over. They weren't sure they could rendezvous. But in those days, because everything was delayed, and there are no pictures of them, the splashdown in the Pacific, there are no pictures of that because live pictures of that, because none of that existed. Everything was jeopardy all the way through. So we tell the story of the jeopardy, but we tell it, through the eyes of 95-year-old Buzz, played by John Lithgow, looking back on what happened and being a lot more honest about what happened than he was at the time.
My Lord, it is
You
so
know,
intriguing.
it's amazing that those people lived.
Oh,
Absolutely.
yeah, yes. And
The odds were not in their favor.
oh yeah, it's really crazy when you think about what the technology in your iPhone is more advanced than the technology that sent them to the moon, and it's kind of scary a little bit to think about that.
Well, which is why it's so crazy that we've never been back. And I think, one of the reasons why this is so pertinent now is we're going to go back to the moon. We're probably going to go to Mars. It's privatized. You've got three billionaires competing for space flight. All of this is happening. And that's reintroduced this whole, the belief in space flight. They talk about it every day.
Yeah, it is
But
very
this
current.
was the greatest mission watched by more people than anything before or since. I mean, it was a huge audience and across the,
Yeah.
political, social, territorial divide.
Yes, yeah, it's such a huge thing. And I have a silly question to ask you guys if you've come across this in your research. There's a story that I heard about the moon landing when I was a kid, and where Buzz is on the moon and he says, "Good luck, Mr. Gorsky." Have you heard that one, that story? I don't know if that. Okay, so.
There
I have
is
not.
nope. There is no. There are lots of tales.
And I
We
don't know
tell
if
the
it's
true
true.
story of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's true or not,
I
but he
doubt
says,
it.
good luck, Mr. Gorsky, or something like that. And he wouldn't tell anybody what it meant until much, much later, where he said that it was like when he was a kid, and he was like playing baseball or something, and his baseball landed near his neighbor's window, and he went to go pick it up. And he heard the husband and wife arguing about like some spicy bedroom kind of stuff. And the husband was like, "I'll do that when the kid next door walks on the moon," or something like that. And so he's on the moon and he's like, "Good luck, Mr. Gorsky." And he wouldn't
Okay.
tell anyone what it meant until the couple had passed away. And I've never known if that was true or not. Have you guys
Well,
heard
we
that?
can. There are several jokes like that, which is that the real quote was not,
That's
remember,
right.
one small step for a man and a giant step for mankind.
Yeah,
The joke starts off with a giant step for Mel Klein, but that we would have to finish offline.
I've heard the one when it
So
was called
curious.
Manykind, but never mind. Same thing, same
Oh my
gag.
God. This is like another way that it's like universal in this collective. Everybody has stories, I feel like, from, oh, did you hear Buzz said this or did that? Like everybody grew up or has some kind of thing like that. This is fantastic.
Well, don't forget, half our audience weren't alive. I mean,
Right. Which
that's
is
why.
important. Yeah. That's important to note. This is a young, relatively young audience.
So we
Yeah,
are
it's
telling
but it
people
is
things
current.
they really didn't know about.
Yeah, but it is like what you're saying, it's
Very much
very
so.
current. There's very big interest in space exploration again, and people do want to know about this from all generations. And it's interesting in my podcasting, I have a lot of millennials and Gen Z that are very interested in like war history and just history in general, which is very cool. Yeah, definitely universal appeal, I'd say. So I want to, before I forget too, I need to do a special shout out to Chris Wright, who is the co-founder of Chrysalis Records, for introducing me to Jeremy a couple of years back. And then special thank you to Jeremy for getting you guys onto the podcast here. So thank you for that, for getting everybody here. I do want to ask a couple questions to Howard real quick. I heard that you have an enormous collection of these like super rare books, like original copies. Are there any stories from there that you might bring into Thoroughbred that are just itching to be told?
Well, I have been collecting spy books forever. I have all the Ian Fleming first editions and so forth. But I was thinking, well, when I sat at Walter Cronkite's feet during the newscast, and at one point I was in charge of the technology that CBS used, and we had projectors spinning stuff that was happening. And we called the projector Hal. And Walter Cronkite got confused and kept saying, Hal, what do you think? And I had to sit underneath his feet saying, Hal isn't a real computer. Would you stop asking about Hal? And throughout the moonshot, he drove me crazy with saying, Hal, where do you think we are now? And I would have to make it up as I went along. So technology hadn't really got very far in the newsroom. It was very far in space. Now we're everywhere.
That is hilarious.
Sorry, and I remember saying to Walter after 30 years, 30 hours shaking his feet, Walter, would it be all right if I went out for a meal? He said, have you been here the whole time? I said, well, you have.
No way. Oh my God, that is hysterical. I feel like I could do like just ask you questions for hours, and that would be super entertaining.
Well, Howard reminded me that we had to cast a Walter Cronkite for Buzz. But every time, you know, these people recorded, as they do now, they just record on their iPhone and they send in the things. I sent them to Howard, said, does this sound like Walter Cronkite? Does this sound like Walter Cronkite? Yeah. And of course, nobody sounds like Walter Cronkite.
He's
except
like,
Walter
I
Cronkite.
Enjoyed that. Full experience.
That is fantastic. That is really great. Well, okay. So I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, answering all these questions. Sir Howard Stringer, Jeff Bukas, Jeremy Fox, everybody is from Thoroughbred Studios. Again, go look up Thoroughbred Studios. So many really cool stuff in development and stuff that's come out. And season 2 of Central Intelligence is out now too. So very, very cool. Thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.